have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got like glue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder. And lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
No, you're an angel witch. Hello.
La maudite des vieux.
Oh, it's starting over. What the fuck? I've had it.
We're already off to...
This is a nightmare. This is our national nightmare, this show.
I was about to comment how slick that was, but then that happened. So.
Something always, you know, derailed. Anyway, hello and welcome to the Dave Hill Good Time Hour. Is there reggae in the background?
Some reggae in the background, yeah.
Wow, I was not prepared for that. I mean, I'm still in my reggae phase. Let me be clear.
Yeah, I was reminded of that today for some reason. So it's like, we haven't ever had any reggae bed music on the show, so.
I don't know if we should have reggae bed music, though. I feel like... I don't know if we have it in us.
All right.
I mean, so, we can try. Let's do it. Let's embrace it.
Okay.
I just don't want people to think I'm a fun in the sun type of guy, which is the risk of having rage.
100%. I chose Lee Scratch Perry because I figured that was a little more like.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like upbeat.
I love.
Like,
you know. Yeah. It's not Reggae Sunsplash, even though he's probably done, assume he's done Reggae Sunsplash. Anyway, hello, hi, how are you? I'm incredible, thank you so much for asking. How are you doing, boy criminal, Chris Gersbeck?
I'm good. Good. Took a shower, my hair is still a little wet.
Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, how about you?
We are down an engine, or down a wing or something. Dez... New Jersey chicken rancher Dez is out having had a botched cosmetic procedure.
Yeah.
He's down for the count. He's going to be on that show. What's that show? Is it called Botched?
Was it Botched or Plastic Surgery Nightmares? I can't remember.
Is that a show, Botched?
I think so. Botched.
It's on, you can watch that show.
Maybe you're thinking of Bosch. On Amazon.
I don't know what that is. No, the show where people have really bad plastic surgery. And then they have to go see these doctors who themselves have bad plastic surgery. And they are supposed to fix... They're supposed to right the wrongs, I guess.
Yeah, Jeannie Murray in the chat said it's botched. That's it.
Botched.
You got it.
Should we? We don't. Since we don't have Dez, we don't have our. It's a stretch to say that we have ever had working phone lines. barely functioning phone lines. But my question to you: Should we put the Zoom into the chat and let people Zoom in tonight during this exciting live stream? Is Should Dave I... in a closet? Oh, yeah, and you can put your questions in. We're watching the chat aggressively. Is Dave in a closet? Whatever do you mean? I'm in an office that has a lot of stuff in it, including a clothing rack and then another closet that's like a, I believe it's from IKEA, not to brag.
Oh man, I went to a really weird IKEA the other day in Queens.
Tell me more.
It was like, it was just like one floor of IKEA. Everything was on a single floor. But it was like obvious that they didn't really finish building the place because all the floors had like really ugly tile and
it said Models.
Yeah, it had like arrows pointing to things that don't exist. It was very strange.
I call bullshit on this whole story.
Why?
Just doesn't sound believable. I've only been to one IKEA in my life, I think.
Yeah, they're usually like three floors of madness. This was one floor of madness.
Yeah, I don't know when I went to IKEA or why. I do remember I bought a rug. So yeah. There's that. Oh, and I bought some fabric. So there. It's all coming back to me. All right, I believe your story now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like, you're like in a, like a brand store, but it doesn't feel like the brand. It's just like a little off. That's what it felt like. Like, you ever go to like a donut shop that has like the Dunkin' Donuts faded logo above it, but they have like everything that Dunkin' Donuts had, but it's like not Dunkin' Donuts.
It's like a rogue Dunkin' Donuts.
It's like a franchise.
You're living a world. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you never go into like, you don't really eat it. You don't eat fast food really.
Only when I'm like traveling on the highways and byways, then I do.
Yeah.
But why? Do you eat fast food regularly?
Not regularly, but, you know, I'm kind of fascinated by them in a way.
They're delicious, usually.
That specific situation,
chemically engineered deliciousness.
I find it fascinating more because it's like anyone can just open up a McDonald's or like a Popeyes or something. But you have to like adhere to like the standards that they set. So if you see like one of those locations, it's like, what did they do to lose their Dunkin' Donuts licensing?
Oh, they went rogue. That's true, though. Like, a few years ago, Shayna Feinberg, you know, who's been out with a botched cosmetic procedure for years now.
Mm-hmm.
She and I did a story for This American Life where we went to a Chick-fil-A somewhere in Florida, and they were having people camp out overnight to win like a year's supply of Chick-fil-A. And as part of this, we talked to all these people, but we talked to the manager of a Chick-fil-A and learned all about how you get to like have your own Chick-fil-A franchise, and it's based on everything he said, I would have a better chance of applying to Harvard today and getting in than I would have ever.
Oh yeah, it's got to be
running
intense.
A Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Not that I would want to run a Chick-fil-A. Let me be clear. I think they're a hateful organization that just so happens to make incredible chicken sandwiches. But
hold on, I'm just going to turn my camera off for a second.
Why? You're just going to leave me here all alone? This is highly irregular. What kind of show is this where 50% of the show just says, I'm going to turn my camera off, and he just leaves? And then it's just me sitting here in here at what absolutely looks like a closet, but it's not. Let's look in the, it wouldn't kill me to, I guess, straighten up a little bit to lessen the illusion of me being in a closet. Where did you go?
You know, someone had to pass by and they didn't want to be on camera. So.
Oh, In the nude?
No.
I just assume that's what you meant.
No.
So you're saying your wife wanted to pass through the room but didn't want to be on camera?
Yeah.
How come you stopped talking? Couldn't you keep talking? So I didn't feel completely alone?
Sure, but then thought? I had to like yell at her to like, yeah, you can pass.
You had to say you yelled at your wife?
I didn't yell, but she was out waiting outside of our apartment. So
your wife is absolutely wonderful. Now I feel horrible. This is exciting news. Today, as you know, I'm a fashion designer now with my clothing line.
Yeah, I know.
That I co-own called Bunny, thebunnyshops.com. We sold our first dress in Switzerland today.
Whoa.
I believe we sold dresses in other countries, but I don't know. The Switzerland of it all made me feel really glamorous today. And then for the first time in my life, even though I just became a fashion designer like in the last few months.
Do you think other fashion designers? Having no plans. Do you think other fashion designers are pissed at you for doing that so quickly?
I'm an international fashion designer now.
You know, like when a comedian gets famous too fast and everyone hates them? For the rest of the
That happened to me.
Did it really?
I mean, in a way it did. I had a TV show. I mean, I'm joking, but now that I'm thinking about it, I did have a TV show within 2 years of starting comedy.
Yeah, but so you were in show business.
Everyone hated me. Everyone hated me. No, I don't think people hated me. But the joke was on me because I've never had my own TV show ever since. Let's be clear. So, joke's on me. But I don't know why I told that story. It's really revealing. No, I've always been... I was rocking people before that. So is that what you're counting as my show business experience?
Yeah, I mean, you were performing. It wasn't like a totally... You weren't just like, I'm going to stop being a real estate agent and do stand-up. And then you get a TV show within 2 years. But
I had only been doing stand-up for 2 years, and then I had a TV show.
It is remarkable.
But look what happened. Nothing. Nothing after that. It's all been dribs and drabs, just fighting for scraps ever since. Am I a millionaire? Yeah, of course. But, it's not as good as we all hoped. Not even close.
You wrote a song that's the theme song.
No, I know. I don't take that for granted. I actually just was watching Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, one of the best shows on TV.
I got to catch up. But yes, I agree. It's one of the few kinds of that show that I like watching. That I can really.
It's an amazingly great show.
So good.
Oh, consistently great.
Yeah.
So I'm absolutely honored that I happened to have written the theme song. So there. I don't take it for granted. But yeah, other than that, I'm extremely bitter. Have I written 3 books about writing fourth now? Yeah, whatever.
Been in
movies, TV shows, whatever. Toured the world? Yeah, sure. Whatever. Still bitter. No, I'm not going to whine.
Drunk bus.
I'm in the hit movie Drunk Bus. But we have actual very successful people on the show tonight. We have Trevor Moore.
Yeah.
Host of the Trevor Moore Show on Comedy Central. You also know him, of course, from Whitest Kids You Know and a myriad of other projects.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned today, I don't know how I didn't, I guess I did know this, but it really wasn't fully in my brain. That his parents are famous Christian folk singers. So we're going to ask him about that pretty much the whole time. No, we're not. But anyway, this is just a bit of the facts that I learned in my tireless research for this program. And then we also have the brothers Landau, who are actual real-life brothers who play great music. Not unlike the Gallagher brothers from Oasis.
Oh, I thought you meant...
They're actually nothing like Oasis, but they are great.
I thought you meant like Leo Gallagher and his brother, who performs as Gallagher too.
Wait, is Gallagher the comedian named Lee? Is his first name Leo Gallagher?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't know what his brother's name is, but he basically, he performs as Gallagher too, like the number two.
It does. So when you, when the show is advertised, do they make Gallagher a distinction too between the two, or do you just go out and you're just going to get one of the two and you don't know which one?
He let his brother perform as Gallagher too, as long as he made it clear it was Gallagher too and not, you know, the original Gallagher.
And he's, does he do the same act?
Yeah. Yeah, the watermelons, the big couch, everything.
I think I'd heard this, but I never heard it.
Yeah, but they had broken down like
in the way that you are.
They had like a falling out though, so it might not. He might not still tour as Gallagher 2.
I was reading some interview somewhere with Gallagher 1, and it sounded like he wasn't in a good place, despite all the fame and money. I guess it sounded like the money was all gone or something.
Did you hear the infamous interview he did with Maron? Pretty early in WTF.
I didn't hear it.
Gallagher, they were like doing the interview in the hotel or something, and Gallagher got just really upset with Mark's questioning, and he stormed out of the interview.
Really?
Yeah, you could probably find it on YouTube or something. It was like from 2010. It was like pretty shortly after he started podcasting.
Wow, I didn't know that. What did he? Well, a lot of people have stormed out of Mark Maron's show, though, right?
I don't think so.
No, who's the guy? Of course, I can't come up with any names. Who's the... Oh, Carlos Mencia. He stormed out, didn't he?
Yeah, but then he came back for like another episode.
There's two. I've just named two. And you just named the first one. I just took credit for having named it. He did come back. And yeah, he came back again and finished the...
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's not common. Hey, our guest is backstage. Do you want to rip some solos while I get them all set up?
I can rip some solos. Yeah, I'll rip some solos. Okay. Turn the music down so I can rip some solos. I'll just rip some solos, getting ready.
I'll be right back.
Okay, I'll be right here, just ripping solos. I'm just going to rip some solos. Dez is probably watching. He's probably watching just to see us squirm without him. And, you know, you can see... It's not really a... We're missing an engine tonight. So, I'm just gonna... Let's see, here we go. I'm not wearing shoes. This is the problem when you try to use pedals without shoes. Fuck it up. Okay, let's try it again. This show, oh boy. It'll be worth it. I just gotta focus. My own musical guess. Give it a little more heat. Thank you. multitasking. I got caught up in a jam. I was playing a really sloppy version of Maggot Brain just to kill time.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way. It's a good way to kill time.
It's like a 12-minute song. But I'm really bad at doing the loop, playing and doing the looping pedals while I'm also checking the YouTube chat.
Oh, yeah.
It's a skill set I don't have. It's too many skills. Too much heat at once, so some of the heat suffers. Anyway, enough excuses.
Let's go see what happens when Dez can't make it.
I know. Illustrate. Yeah, my chops go down. My hot rock chops go down the tubes just because he has a botched can't cosmetic procedure.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Graham Clark, and I'm one half of the podcast Stop Podcasting Yourself, a show that we've recorded for many, many years. And at the moment, instead of being in person, we're recording remotely, and you wouldn't even notice. You don't even notice the lag.
That's right, Graham. And the great thing about this... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. And...
Okay, go ahead.
And you can listen to us every week on MaximumFun.org.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott.
And we're the hosts of Round Springfield.
Round Springfield is a Simpsons adjacent podcast where we talk to Simpsons folks about non-Simpsons things.
That's right. So in the past, we've gotten to talk to legendary showrunners and writers like Al Jean, Bill Oakley, Josh Weinstein, Dana Gould, Mike Reese, and David X. Cohen.
Voice actors like Maurice LaMarche, Maggie Roswell, and Yardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson.
So we've been away securing guests for our final 5 episodes, and we are super excited about them. We're going to talk to Mike Scully, Jeff and Samantha Martin, Jeff Westbrook. And guys, our final episode, we got to interview Matt Groening.
We are so excited to share these final recordings. So check out our new episodes of Round Springfield starting June 21st.
On Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is our guest ready tonight?
Yeah, our guest is ready to go.
Do you have questions locked and loaded for our guest tonight, Chris?
Sure. I have a couple.
I have several. I'm just reading the chat. Dave Bamundo says his pants just got magically unbuckled.
All right.
That's mission accomplished.
That's that's what happens to Ray in the first Ghostbusters. His pants magically get unbuckled. Do you remember that scene?
I have not seen Ghostbusters in some time. though I'm a fan. And I do remember that the late, great Joe Franklin is in it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the mark of any great movie. Broadway, mm-hmm. Danny Rose. Get Joe Franklin in your movie. You've got a hit on your hands. Anyway, should we bring our guests on? Our guests, let's give him a... He has now, second season, The Trevor Moore Show on Comedy Central, which is has a lot of my favorite folks on it, answering a lot of questions I've wondered the answers to for some time now. You also know him, of course, from The Whitest Kids You Know and all sorts of other hilarious stuff he's been doing for many, many years now. And I've learned a lot of new stuff about him today in my tireless research, which is to say, on his Wikipedia page. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to this slick, wildly popular program, Mr. Trevor Moore.
Hi.
Where is he?
Hi, there he turned is. My is camera on.
Oh, there he is.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. How you been? Am I sounding okay? This is the microphone.
You sound great.
Okay, good.
You look great. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm psyched to be here.
Dave, I think you might be a little too close to the mic now.
Now I'm too close to it?
Dave. No, you're fine.
I might be. Okay, I'll how's this? Now I'm talking into a microphone.
That's good. We're good.
And it was awesome hearing Maggot Brain. That's like my favorite album of all time.
It is. It's the best album.
Yeah, it is.
It was not the best version I played, but you know, it's just a scrambling to, you know, run a podcast and break out a funkadelic song in the middle of it.
I guess the year before the virus, so like what is that, 2019? Like,
yeah.
I saw one of George Clinton's last shows, and I did like the meet and greet thing, and I brought my Maggot Brain album, and he signed it. So I have a signed, you know, George Clinton Maggot Brain album, and I don't know if he's going to tour anymore because, like, he's getting up there.
Yeah, he's up there. I mean, he's been up there a while, and I think he's been, by all reports, going pretty hard for a long time.
Yeah, he seems like he parties. Just
bringing a tremendous amount of heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories that I feel, for legal reasons, I shouldn't repeat, because they're just things, like rumors that I've heard of just the level of fun that he would get up to over the years.
I don't think that tarnishes his image at all. I don't think that the estate of George Clinton would be like, are you suggesting that George parties?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's kind of, that's kind of his thing. But I'm a huge fan. But yeah, that's awesome that you saw them right before. So you saw Funkadelic?
Yeah,
and it was P-Funk.
No, it was Funkadelic. I think it was billed as Funkadelic, but it had like, you know, I mean, there's like 47 people. Like, people just kept coming out. Like, I think that lineup just changes so wildly that it's like whoever's been in his radius in the last 2 weeks.
It is pretty amazing. I've seen various iterations over the years. I don't think I've ever lasted for a whole show. I don't have the fight. Like, I'm like, you think that you're ready for it, and you're like, I'm in. I'm ready for a night of funk, and you're like, I was not ready.
How much? How many? Is there like a cutoff for how many minutes of funk you can listen to live?
I mean, I don't know. I was just talking about this with a friend. I think all live music, and Trevor, you can disagree with me, mm-hmm. Chris as well. There's a point 20 minutes into any live performance where I'm like, that's, no matter how good it is, part of, there's a, at least a small part of me that's like, this is amazing. I'm probably good. This is good enough. 20 minutes. And I'm like, that's great.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't think I've ever wanted anything to be longer. Like, even like movies, like concerts, like, there's, everything's a little too long.
It is. And I remember seeing, what was your first concert, Trevor?
Well, my parents were Christian rock singers in the 80s. So, like,
Yes.
Yeah. So I was, I grew up on a tour bus. So it was just, I was at concerts more often than not.
Oh, that's, that's amazing. Yeah. So you didn't have that, like, where you're like, oh my God, I'm seeing, you'd been seeing live music your whole life.
Yeah. I didn't think I liked music. But because I grew up in a very conservative, like, you know, environment. So, I wasn't allowed to listen to the secular music. I'd sneak it every now and then. We'd drive in across the country and I'd have like the little radio in the back. Like I had a little portable cassette player radio and I'd dial in, but like, I didn't like what was on the radio back then. It was, I forget who does it, but that song, like, that girl is poison. You know, that song.
Belle Biv DeVoe.
I remember hearing that and being, that was like a big song on the radio. I was like, I don't know that I like this music either. Like, I don't like secular music that much. And this is like cliche, but it wasn't until an uncle gave me, a recording of one of those early Nevermind, Nirvana, that I was like, oh, I like this. This is cool. Like that. Which is
so
like,
you're presented with sort of empirically good music and you're like, oh, okay.
It's also the most cliche album to be like, this is the album. Like, so yeah. I was a very basic child. Yeah. Yeah.
And your uncle gave it to you.
Yeah.
Now I need to backtrack a little bit though. I'm a huge Belle Biv DeVoe fan.
They may be fantastic. The other thing, I thought I hated Billy Joel until last year. And then it just hit me the right way. And then I was like, I'm all about Billy Joel now. So, like, it might have just been at that time I wasn't into him.
Yeah, it has to. What era of Billy? Or are you on board with all of it?
Billy Joel. It's one of those things that there's huge blind spots in my musical knowledge. Like, you know, because I didn't grow up listening to a lot of stuff. And so, like, I'd probably heard, like, some of the later Billy Joel stuff. And I was like, I don't like that. But then, you know, I listened to, you know, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Like, it's always, like, the big hits that I hear. I'm like, well, wait, this is really good. But for some reason, I never liked it up until that one time. Like, it gets you. Like, for the last, like, month, I've been on a big, like, Jerry Reed kick.
Oh yeah
I've been really into Jerry Reed, and then even in the last week, like Waylon Jennings, like really getting into Waylon Jennings and stuff. But like, I've heard about him forever, but like it wasn't the right time or whatever, and then it hits you, and then I like love all of it.
That's the magic of music. I think it's waiting for you when you're ready. I feel like comedy is not like that. I feel like comedy is more like you have this at this age and it forms like who you are, what your sensibilities. With music, you can just go like one day, like as I talk about often, I've been on a reggae phase for the last 2 years, very quietly, very, very privately.
a respectful reggae phase.
Yeah, because it's just such. It's like walking on hot coals, reggae. I think because it's like one wrong turn, and you're like Saturday in the park, street vendors, reggae. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can just get like really bad fun in the sun. There's like a band playing at the end of the intersection.
Well, there is. I mean, there is. You know, you go down the wrong avenue, and you're straight into the ska from reggae.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's really, I would argue, the most dangerous form of music in that
regard.
But
is that why it's the most exhilarating?
Yeah, because when you, you're walking that line and you're just like, okay, this is good. And then you realize, like, wait a minute, no, I'm headed.
This feels like I'm in Sublime territory.
That's exactly right. It's not a kind of music where you can have someone give you a mix.
Right.
Unless you trust that person. Like, unless it's Lee Scratch Perry himself giving you the mix.
It's like doing heroin. You have to know your source. Like, you don't want to be, like, getting a bunch of fentanyl, you know?
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, where are you now? You're in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles.
You have a very, I mean, with, between the shirt and the sun peeking through the blinds, speaking of a reggae, a fun in the sun vibe, you are nailing it.
Yeah. Oh, good, good, good. I wanted to dress fun.
I wanted to ask you, because I was, but your parents, because you, so you had the reverse. There was like, there was, now there's endless amounts of contemporary music that mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, and I don't, you know, I turn on the TV, I don't know who an artist is, but there was a time in my life when if I turned on the TV and a musician was playing and to a large audience and I did not know who it was, they were invariably a Christian artist. Like some yeah. someone playing to like thousands of people. And then you yeah. listen and you're like, wait, what was that lyric? Something about him?
Yeah.
And then so but so your experience was the opposite. What now? And then what do your parents think now that you've fallen? I'm not judging you morally. I think you're a fine young man, but you've presumably run. I mean, just if I can, you know, I was watching the Trevor Moore show. There's a sex doll episode.
Yeah. Yeah. We got somebody now, to test out a sex doll for us on the show while the show went on. They didn't. I mean, well, also Whitest Kids was we were on an IFC, and so they didn't censor us, and we were kind of, yeah. you know, we were vulgar.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I don't know why I was framing it as if the Trevor Moore show is was your first straying away from the Christian values.
No.
I mean, obviously, Whitest Kids, you know. I mean, I'm a huge fan of all of it. But I'm just saying, are your parents deeply upset? They must. Well, they've probably been upset with you for 20 years now.
Exactly. And yeah, they were. It was very tense. Luckily, my sister ran away and joined a Buddhist commune around the same time. So like that took some heat off me. That was good, you know, because at least I wasn't a hippie.
She took a massive swing at the
yeah,
pinata of Christianity before you did.
She was in the ground zero of that blast, and I kind of got to skirt away on my deep cable show. But it was very awkward. Like we did a movie that came out, and they wouldn't go see it.
Miss March,
yeah. They like, you know, it was always tense, but it was also on the same time, I think they appreciated that it was working and that like mm-hmm. I was making a living. So they were torn. And then I had like a kid 3 years ago and now it's all fine. Like that was my
You've fulfilled your biblical obligations.
No, it's like once you have like once you have a kid and they have a grandkid, they don't really care that much about you at all. It just becomes about, so they're like, well, they don't care if you're going to hell. Like, you know, it's all about the grandkids. So so it's actually, they were just visiting me for a week. I hadn't seen them for 22 months because of COVID. But they came out as soon as they got vaccinated, they came out. And I saw them, and it was lovely. It was one of the nicest experiences I've had with them. And I think part of it's just after 20 years, you're just like, oh, well, you know, life has turned out okay for you. Like, you know, I guess it's not that bad. Like, you know.
Yeah. They're not worried you're going to be, you know, getting up to trouble at a truck stop or something.
Exactly.
I mean, you may still. Who knows?
I just got into Waylon Jennings. I might. Yeah. I'm actually.
This is true. Yeah.
I'm actually getting I'm getting my Class A license to drive like the 18 wheelers. Like I'm
really
applying for trucking school to start next month because I want to like it's a 4 week course, but then you can like rent like the big Peterbilts, and I want to like be able to drive those. I think that'd be fun.
Just thinking about driving one of those stresses me out so much.
Oh really?
I don't like driving.
This is amazing. This is, I need to connect you with my dad because he had the same idea. Well, he kept, a few years ago, he kept mentioning to my sister how much he loved 18-wheelers.
Really?
And then he, yeah. And so, and he started mentioning it to me. And then so we're like, well, we got to get him behind the wheel of an 18. You know, my mom's gone. We're like, let's get him behind the wheel of one of these trucks. And I don't, you know, I don't know anything about the mechanics of them. So I called a truck driving school and, you know, said, you know, my dad is an older gentleman, would love to get behind the wheel of a truck. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's going to have to 6 weeks. I'm like, what? You know, I think he was like 80 at the time. And I was like, yeah. I was like, he just wants to like kind of drive through a parking lot, maybe. And they're like, yeah, well, he's still good. They were really hardline about it. They're like, he's going to have to take the classes.
Well, it's got like 32 gears.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. They were just like, you can't just jump behind. We eventually arranged for someone from a truck driving school to drive him around for like 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
that's
he
all you need.
Absolutely loved it. Wait, so what are you going to do? How far along are you in your process?
I haven't started it yet. I had 2 weeks ago, I called a trucking school and I was like, hey, I want to, you know, take these classes. And they're like, okay, great. We'll call you back the next day. They did. And then they started saying like, don't worry, we'll pay for your tuition. And that was like, wait, what do you mean? You'll pay for my tuition like that. And they're like, oh, well, we'll pay for it. You don't have to pay the tuition. I was like, why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, who are you, by the way? I thought I'd probably like a trucking school. And what I didn't realize is I had gotten into this thing where I was going to have to like ride for them for a year. And it was like this weird backdoor kind of college goes straight into a job. And they're kind of like, it was happening real fast. I was like, wait, I don't want to drive. I don't want to like do this as a job. I just want to be able to like drive the trucks. And they said, they're like, are you sure? Because after the first year, we guarantee that every week you'll be on a route that brings you to your home city. And I was like, that's not that, that just made it more in my mind that I don't want to do it. Like, so,
I don't,
so then I got out of that. And then I found a new one kind of thing.
You found a news. I was not that I certainly don't want you to leave your family, but I was just for entertainment, my own entertainment. I was hoping you were going to say, you know, I had to have a talk with my wife and just let her know that this was the deal, that I was going to be gone a lot.
Yeah, that's where I am right now. I'm just in a La Quinta Inn, so I could do this interview. I just pulled over.
That would be, I mean, I was
I'd be
just
really
saying,
excited to use the CB radio. That's what I would be most hyped
Well,
about.
I had one as a kid in my room because I lived near a truck stop. And so as a kid, I bought a CB. And I would just put on like a talk show in my room over the CB radio. But that's monopolizing the channel. Like you're only supposed to be like breaker, like, you know, you give your, you know, if you see something like a, you know, speed trap or something and then get off it, keep the channel clear. I would pull the button down and then I would do a, you know, 25-minute, 30-minute show. And then when I let the button go, it would just be like dudes yelling and like cursing me out for like a long time because I was just like monopolizing the whole thing.
Oh, that's amazing.
They like threaten to come, like, we're gonna find you.
We're gonna find you. Yeah, they're like, you do know truckers are the frequently serial killers.
there's a whole code of the road.
Yeah.
Wait, so how will you get behind a wheel? Will you have to buy an 18-wheeler to get the...
Well, I don't think I... No, you don't have to buy one. I mean, you just... Then you've got your Class A, and you can rent one. you know, like, because a lot of these, the guys who own these trucks, they, some of them, a lot of them don't own their own. And what they do is they rent it for X amount of day from like a 18-wheeler supplier, and then they take jobs and they start, you know, driving loads across. So like, for like my kid's birthday or something, he's three, loves trucks, I could go rent an 18-wheeler for the day, bring that by, you know, and let all the kids, instead of a bounce house, get an 18-wheeler.
That's
let all
amazing.
The kids, yeah, let the kids play in that, pull the horn, honk everything. He'll win at birthday parties for the whole year. No one else in his class can top that.
That's amazing. Or if a friend is moving, be like, hey, let me help. And yeah, then just yeah. show up.
Get it or done in a
semi.
20
you could,
minutes.
You could put a bouncy castle in the trailer.
Yeah, or just go like Bigfoot Gravedigger and just drive over the bouncy castle with the with the truck. That'd be cool.
I actually drove Gravedigger once.
Really?
Yeah.
Like down in North Carolina?
I went to the guy, Dennis Anderson, who's mm-hmm. like the guy. I went to my first band, this was the 90s, so it was peak time to like have like a monster truck in your mm-hmm. artwork, and we were like, let's see if we can use a picture of this truck for our new single, and he said yes, and then they were like, why don't you come down here? So we went there and like stayed at his house, and he had this amazing like haunted forest on the grounds where people would, he had this sort of street legal version of the truck,
right?
And that's the one that we took turns driving, and it was exhilarating. It was the same thing though, like we couldn't have operated an actual one because it's
right.
Now you, on the other hand, well, I think will be well qualified in a few short weeks.
By the end of July. Yeah. By the end of July, I'll be able to. That's, I love, we, I do, I produced a Disney show, for the last couple of years. And during one episode, we did a big live episode and we had a little more of a budget than normal. And I got to rent Robosaurus. You ever see Robosaurus?
I don't think I know that. Chris, do you know that?
I've never heard of that.
It's a monster truck that actually is a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex. And it can pick up cars and bite through them with its mouth. And then it breathes fire.
Oh, this is amazing.
Wasn't yeah.
So, like on the Simpsons? So it's
Simpsons. It was on the Simpsons that they did. Yeah. It was like a guest on the Simpsons.
I think I've seen. It comes out at sort of the halftime act at the monster truck show.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, and now it does like, you know, you can rent it for like, you know, the opening of a mall or something like that. But we got it and we brought it into L.A., like downtown L.A. So we got to have Robosaurus down there breathing fire and like ripping cars in half. And it was oh like God. One of the best times of my life. It was awesome.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Now, have you been to a monster truck event before?
I've never been to one. We used to, I mean, I remember as a kid, Bigfoot was the big thing. And then great, because I'm from I'm from Virginia, so Gravedigger was North Carolina, that whole like, you know,
rivalry.
We did a Whitest Kid sketch about the rivalry between those two drivers, and they meet at a dinner party.
I don't know
party.
How I missed that.
Yeah, it was Bigfoot and Gravedigger both meet at a dinner party, and it was like what happened to them. But yeah, I lived so far out in the country that, you know, like the closest, the monster trucks would always go to like Richmond, Virginia. That was, so I never got to see one live. I really want to see one, you know, now that my kid's getting to an age where he's like really into trucks, like I want to go to that stuff all the time.
Oh, you should. It's intense. Like there was a period given this new access that I had to Gravedigger. There was a period where I would exploit it whenever possible, and I went whenever Gravedigger was appearing somewhere. I would go, and you know, I'd have the sweet VIP monster truck experience. But
you were like friends of the band with Gravedigger for an extended period of time.
Yes, I went many times. I would go, and it was like. It's really loud. Like when you see the kids on TV, you realize like, oh, it's insanely loud. And there's like a fog of exhaust that starts to hang in the air. And at some point, if you're not on the lower, like the lower seats, you're just, you're gagging for like an hour. It's just, it's really, I think at one point I was like, I don't know how cool this is anymore. I think I'm out. That being said, your kid's going to love it. I would just recommend springing for the good seats, because for his lung, for both of your lungs.
Yeah. I like that you have the VIP card. So they're like, you get the air. you have the air pass.
Yeah. Sweet oxygen. Now we need to talk about season two of the Trevor Moore Show is out.
Yeah.
It's an amazing show.
Oh, thank you.
I want you to talk about it for it, so you can get the full Dave Hill spike, the rating spike that comes with an appearance on this show. But the one thing that keeps leaping out at me, you and Blair Soeke, impeccably, both dressed very well. Why has none of the budget gone to Sam Brown's wardrobe?
There's no budget. We're bringing our own clothes. Sam, that's Sam's. He's got a look. I think it works. He's got like a.
It's consistent.
It is. He looks like the BTK killer.
He does. Like It made me realize how. I realize the passage of time. I'm like, I've not. I love Sam, but I'm like, I have not seen him in a while because I don't remember him dressing like the BTK killer. He's leaned into like a full thing that is like, killer.
You don't usually lean into a sex murderer. Like, if they're like, if you kind of look like a little bit of a sex murderer, you don't do the same mustache as the guy.
Just don't do any mustache, period.
Yeah.
it's a strong look. I mean, and it's consistent throughout. It's he mixes it up, but anyway, that's just a small note. It does not. It's not.
It leaves an impression.
Show.
It's a look that you could easily sketch down and give to a police officer. It stays with you.
Yeah, it looks like, and I mean this in the nicest of ways. He looks like he went into like a Kohl's or something late at night and just grabbed, or TJ Maxx, and just grabbed a bunch of things and just walked them to the register and didn't try them on and just like, yeah. I'm just going to get four of these in different colors.
I like that you mean that in the nicest way before it.
I mean it in the nicest way. It's efficiency shopping is my point.
Yeah.
So tell us about the show, because you can explain it obviously better than I can.
It's a show. We're in our second season. It's on Comedy Central's YouTube page. So if you go to Comedy Central's, their page at YouTube, there's six episodes that are out right now on it. And we just every episode we take a topic that we don't know something about. And we just jump into it and try to solve it. Like the episode that we just put out is about ghosts. And I don't believe in ghosts. And so we have a psychic medium come on. And I told her before the show, I was like, all right, I don't believe in ghosts. Just straight up, I don't believe in ghosts. So we're going to do this. We'll give you the entire show. And she does seances for a living. And she said, all right, we'll lift the veil and we'll communicate to spirits in this half hour. And I'll see if you can convince me in a half hour. We did that. We did a whole episode on weird relationships, where we interviewed people who were in throuples. We interviewed people who were in a relationship with a waifu, like a pillow.
An
anime kind of cartoon. They're in a relationship with an anime, so they buy a pillow that looks like the anime, and then they pretend that they're like married to it, basically. Yeah, we did an episode on the singularity, and we had experts on the singularity come in, and we talked about when that's going to happen and what's that what that's going to look like. So that's just the kind of, you know, we just do episodes on a different topic, and we have a bunch of comedians in, a bunch of people who aren't comedians, just experts, and it's fun.
Yeah, it's excellent. I'm in the midst. I had to hit pause on it. I'm not afraid of a spoiler. I'm watching the Sex Doll episode. By the way, I want to back up. The one with the medium, Sam Brown he has to leave the show for the medium to come.
Because of COVID regulations.
Sam just, you know. I feel bad now for me criticizing his wardrobe. Now that I thought about that, he got booted.
Well, the writers... Well, we always try to come up with something humiliating that happens to Sam in every episode. Like in season one, we did a whole thing on alien abductions where we talked to people who had, you know, seen aliens and stuff like that. And then we talked and they were talking about how a lot of it was, a prostate kind of invasion, you know, sort of things like the aliens. They root around in everybody's butts when they get them. So we had Sam volunteer to get a prostate exam live on the show, in the middle of the show, and he'd never had one before. So we had a doctor come in with the latex thing, and so Sam would walk us through the sensation, what it felt like as it was happening. That way we could better understand these people who get abducted. And something bad always happens to Sam.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad he got his prostate exam.
Yeah, it turned out he was fine. That's good.
Yeah. Exam. I don't know why I said examined. Basic words fail me when it's 9 o'clock on the East Coast. My grasp of basic English examined. Chris, are you? You're gonna. We'll edit this part out where I ask you this. Are you? You're gonna grab the musical guest?
I am. Yeah, I'm waiting for them. They're not.
Okay. Gotcha. So I'm in the middle of the Sex Doll episode, as I said. Now, I'm not afraid of spoilers. What? Mm-hmm. How does this play out for when I go?
When you watch the rest of it, like, has he? So we found a guy who volunteered to test out one of these sex dolls.
Now, how did you find the guy?
So Whitest Kids does a Twitch show every week because we're have a Whitest Kids movie coming out next year, but we've been like crowdfunding it. So we've been raising all the money through Twitch. So every one of us does a show every night of the week. And then we all do a show together on Saturdays. I do one on Friday. And we have a mutual friend. Jim Biederman was just on my show.
Well, I love Jim. We were actually, our phone lines are not working tonight, which is to say Dez, who usually works the phones, is sick. Oh. So we don't have the phone. We were going to have Jim call in. That was going to be our touching.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, we just did an episode with him. It was awesome. But on the Twitch, I just, you know, said, hey, I'm doing a different talk show that's coming out, and I need somebody to volunteer to have sex with a sex doll. And then we actually got a bunch of people to like volunteer. When you tell people you're going to send when you tell them you're going to send a free sex doll to them, people like come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I gotta say, I mean, probably it's nothing I would admit to agreeing to, but I think there would be a part of me that would be like, maybe.
Why not? It's the 21st century, right?
It's the 21st century. A few years ago, I got sent a sponsor sent a pocket pussy, I guess, is with a street vernacular for what I received in the mail.
Yeah.
And I remember getting an email saying like, "Oh, this company is going to sponsor stuff, so we're going to send all of you. Everyone's going to get something." A month or two goes by. And this thing showed up in the mail. I assumed someone was like, someone sent it to me as a joke to be like, you know, this is the best you can do, Dave. And I was like a little you know, I was like, who thinks this is funny? And it kind of sat around my apartment for a while. And then I thought, I'm going to have to march this into the bathroom and see what's what. So.
Now, was it a pocket pussy company, or was it that was your sponsor, or was it not? They were just a weird company. Was it Starbucks, and they sent you pocket pussy?
I think that was their. They had a lot of items, and I'm sure they're not that. You know, that's the 1965 whatever. I don't think they call them that anymore. But that's essentially my knowledge of the name stopped. Fifth grade.
I mean, I don't know how you're going to beat that name. It's descriptive. You know exactly what the product does, and you've got that nice alliteration there. Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly. The alliteration is where it's at. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got so this guy, did he get to keep this sex doll?
Yeah, we did not ask for it. that is his for forever.
And what did he report back?
He said that. So he tried all the different ways you could try it, and he reported back that he said if he was being generous, a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Which seems probably right. I've never done a sex doll thing, but that's what I imagine it would be.
But the doll, it wasn't one of those real dolls, though.
No, I bet that's, those are better.
That's the Cadillac of.
Yeah.
Again, an old reference. That's like my grandfather would say for like something that's the best. Cadillacs.
It's like a Maybach. It's a Maybach.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. So that was like it looked like he had like a mid range.
Yeah, he was. I think he was underwhelmed. That's the take that I got. He said 6 out of 10, but I always look for the eyes, and I could see in his eyes that it was more like a 4 out of 10.
Okay, well that's nice to know though. Like it's nice. It's good to hear that you didn't ruin him for humans. Like he was like, oh wow, I can't. I'm not going back.
Yeah, no.
This is it. We're going to bring our musical guest on now. Chris tells me you need to you need to head off, or are you going to stick around?
Yeah, I can stick around for a little bit. I have to put my kid to bed at some point.
But, oh, okay, yeah. So yeah. No pressure. But we're Merv Griffin style. A musical guest is going to join us. It's the Brothers Landau. I believe also the Brothers Landau are in Los Angeles.
Cool.
I don't know what the significance is, why I bring it up, but here they are. Are they here, Chris?
They are, yeah.
There they are.
And we are in Los Angeles.
The Brothers Landau joining Trevor Moore.
Hi.
Hello, Trevor.
Of the Trevor Moore Show, which I'll say this again at the end of the program, but everyone should watch the Trevor Moore Show. It's hilarious and informative.
Yes. Thank you.
And when is the Wise Kids movie going to be out?
We don't know. We're going to take it. It'll be finished at the end of this year, mm-hmm. and then we're going to take it around to different festivals, and you know, figure out where we're distributing it. But like, it's an animated film. I've seen like the Animax for the full cut. They're doing the animation now, but we'll be finished with it by the end of the year.
And all the whitest kids will be in it.
All of them. Yep. We actually recorded it during quarantine because it was animation, so we were able to like build little studios in our homes and actually do it that way. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The Brothers Landau, also in Los Angeles, as discussed. David and Daniel. Which one? I apologize. David is on guitar.
David's the cool one. Daniel.
On cello.
Yeah. David's on cello. Daniel is on guitar.
This is like, yeah, this is irritating what I'm doing now.
That's all right.
This happens. The Jonas Brothers happens to them. Can you play us a song?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I mean, then we'll ask some tough questions, but I realize we're a little behind schedule. So we should get, but these guys are amazing. I did a show with them recently. I said they have to do this show. The Brothers Landau.
Thank you, Mr. Dave Hill. This one is our last release. It's called Haven't Got a Name.
Excellent. I'm going to awkwardly move my mic and clap. That was amazing. That was beautiful.
Thank you. I mean, you didn't give us an emoji clap, but we'll take it.
It wasn't, but it... And Trevor and Chris, you can tell me if you agree with this. But especially with that cello, and that's not taking anything away from the guitar, but I think... beautiful. Both beautiful. But it's so beautiful and great singing and songwriting. But then when that cello comes in, I had just the emotion of my life is bullshit. Like, I don't contribute anything beautiful to the world. Like, nothing on that level of that, like, cool. I'm like, everything I do is just fucking bullshit.
You are wrong, Dave. You can create humor and beauty, and you are a national treasure.
Thank you. You're too kind. Thank you. But you guys know what I mean, though, right? That cello comes in,
yeah,
and you think, like, what am I doing with my life?
Well, you could learn the cello.
Mm-hmm. I could. This is maybe, you know, to your 18-wheeler, I could learn the cello. And then we could, like, I don't know how we fuse the two, but something involving you leaving your family behind, me joining you on the road playing cello.
Yeah.
Or some, you know, we don't leave too long, but it's something where people are talking. They're like, where are Trevor and Dave? Well, Trevor's driving an 18-wheeler and Dave's in the back playing cello. I don't understand. What else is, I don't understand it, but that's,
well, it's like old time vaudeville things. We just go from town to town to, like, you know, like mining communities and see who needs a laugh, you know, or a song. you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think that's got to come back.
I love that idea. I mean, there was, I'm doing a house show coming up, and I thought, why don't I just do that? I have a whole thing where I only perform in people's houses. I'll stay really busy. I'll make money, and no one will really have any idea what I'm up to. But I'm just
you can do that. There are people who have done tours.
I know there's people that do it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, it's like because there's lots of comedy people who make a total living just doing these corporate things. But I've never heard of someone who's just a house comedian. Like a house doctor. Like you just...
Yeah, just come straight. You hit like... obviously you have to hit it like... It has to be a bunch of people and their friends, all with great jobs, mm-hmm. and they pay some good amount of money. And you just go around and do that. And yeah, it's like the opposite of a corporate gig. But in my mind, it works out that there's a ton of money. And also, we could show up in an 18-wheeler.
What you have to do is you have to figure out how to connect it with like a pyramid scheme. Like, you know, so if you're getting people to bring their friends into a party, you've got to have it be like one of those selling herbal essences things or stuff like that, where it's like you expect all of their friends to buy into something and then they can throw a party at their house for their other friends and it spreads that way.
This is perfect. This has got legs.
This could be the...
This is the beginning of a cult, right?
Yeah,
here.
This is the next NXIVM or whatever that was. Nexium, yeah.
It's amazing. And Brothers Landau, you're in. Join us on this journey.
Yeah. It's a huge truck. We have tons of space.
At the bottom of the pyramid,
I can't believe how well this truck thing is working out for us. It really hinges on you finishing the classes, I guess.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to have it by the end of July. So if you can commit to having the cello down by end of July, I think this is going to be our year.
It feels doable. I know my nephew has a cello. I'll just take it from him. Not a problem.
Dave, we got a super chat.
Okay, this is breaking. Then we got to get another song out of these guys.
Yeah.
Elvira Canaveral says, "My fretless bass ukulele is an easy transport joy." Don't think that you're getting in on the tour, Elvira. Not happening. No, we'll consider it. Midwest dates.
Elvira's, he does have a fretless bass ukulele that he has shown us a couple times.
It's fact. Let's, Brothers Landau, can you favor us with another tune?
For sure. But first, can you tell the folks at home what a super chat is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. A super chat is a people pay exorbitant sums of money, and we're legally required to read their comment during the live recording. It's on YouTube, and we're making money. Whatever the opposite of hand over fist is, that's what we're making.
Fist over hand, I think.
Fist over hand. Some yes.
Well, speaking of jobs, this song was written about in pre-pandemic times, about the like grind
and hustle culture, the internalized capitalism that we struggle with.
It's called Monday. Thank you.
Excellent. I'm gonna snap this time so as not to drop my. I'm gonna clap. And then I'm gonna grab my mic. That was excellent. I figured it out. I figured out the secret weapon of the Brothers Landau.
What is it?
Is you play the cello like an upright bass, and which is cool, and then when you go to the bow. That's when I feel like garbage in the best way. I feel like that's when I feel like I've thrown my life away. When it slips in. I love it.
I'll use that as a blurb on our
next. Yeah. Our music makes Dave Hill feel like garbage.
In the best way.
It's the highest praise I can give when someone has made me feel awful about myself. With the beauty they put into the world.
Dave, not to take away from that, that was amazing, but we have another super chat.
Oh my God, what are we going to do with all the money? Thank you. Gene Scribbins says, "Don't ever downplay your contributions to mankind again, Mr. Hill." I'm just reading the super chat. Thank you. That's very kind. Though now that I've read, I feel like it seems planted. But I'm just reading. Thank you. I know. I was saying this earlier. Something about even despite the fact that Mondays have not really. And you guys must all relate to this. None of us work in conventional. The conventional world or whatever, mm-hmm. But do you still find Mondays, I dread them as if I'm like working like a forklift or something.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea why.
Yeah, I still get like the Sunday night blues, even though it's like, oh, but I just have to report to myself tomorrow. That's
yeah, it makes no sense. Does that happen to you guys? Does that happen to you, Trevor?
Yeah, it's just there's not the... I don't know. There's a pizzazz to Friday, Saturday, and
yeah.
And you know what? Even Thursday. you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when you're coming in, once you get past Wednesday, there's just a sparkle in the air and it all dies Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. Monday, it's just like every Monday I am, it's like balancing a 6-foot sub. I'm just like, I've got it. And then it tips and I'm like, I'm a mess. I'm a complete wreck. I'll have to lie down.
I always wonder about people who Monday is their Saturday, like people who work like through the weekend, but then they have Monday or Tuesday off. Like if Monday is just as exciting to them, or Sunday night is just as exciting to them as Friday night. And I kind of don't think it can be. Even if it is their weekend, I bet it's still in the air that this they know this is not the right day to have off.
If you go out to, you know, a bar or something on a Sunday night, then everyone else is, that's their Sunday. So
yeah,
that energy is just...
Trevor,
it's why dentists commit suicide so much. It's because every single person that ever they see, that's the worst day of their year, and they all put it across. So you're constantly seeing people who are bummed out, and then all these dentists, you know, kill themselves.
I think it's actually probably because of the breath and the smell.
The constant, yeah, that could be.
If we're going to be honest, they also have almost complete control over a vast amount of drugs and very little oversight. So that plays into it. So.
True. You know, as you're saying the thing about whose job is it that has Monday as their Saturday night, I'm just speculating, but it strikes me as maybe the truck driver.
Oh.
When you're running a load of God knows what.
Yeah.
From Alabama to
Logs.
Schenectady. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I learned, my old radio show, there was a trucker that would call in. I would always ask him what he was hauling. Mm-hmm. And he says, rule number one, never let anyone know what you're hauling.
Oh, that's smart. So you don't get bandits.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Fast and the Furious style.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yep,
yeah. So. But I wonder if a trucker just feels so free throughout the entire week. Because are any of us as truly free as a trucker? Well, yeah, I guess because they got to be at one point and then the other point, and they're timed, so it's actually.
But in between, it's as all the cocaine you can snort,
all the trucker's meth, all the lot lizards, the lot lizards.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
lot lizards. I remember you used to be able to get sticker. I'm sure you still can. With a lizard with a blonde wig on. And I never knew what it meant as a kid, but I was like, this is cool. I don't know what it is.
Now, is that for people to identify themselves as lot lizards, or is it just
there was like stickers like no lot lizards, and then it would be like an upright, a female lizard with striking blonde hair. And this is something you could get like at a truck stop in, say, Youngstown, Ohio. We're almost out of time. Can we get one more song out of you guys, and then we'll roll the credits and I'll give the hot plugs and you guys give hot plugs and everyone will get that massive spike of exposure that comes with being on the show.
Trevor, I know that Dave just sort of knocked forklifts. Do you also have a forklift driver's license?
I don't, but I'd be interested. I mean, I bet that's fun too. I'm I just like big machines, guys.
Sure, who can blame you?
I like anything that can kill me easily in horrific ways. Bandsaw is one of my favorite tools.
That's one.
Human mangle.
Even like a soda vending machine.
People get killed by those a lot, too.
Always. There was this period in high school where it was always sophomores that would try to tip it over and get, like, a free Coke. And I knew a guy that got crushed by one.
He broke
his leg. Oh. No, but he broke his leg, and he had to go through school. And, like, 1,200 boys, they all knew why his leg. Like, it was like a cautionary tale.
That's hilarious.
Here's an example to all of us. I'm sorry. Brothers, one more from Brothers Landau.
This one's called How Much Is Enough? is enough? Have you figured it out, my dear? Have you figured it out in your time for loving? How simple can it be that you say to me, there's only one way to figure out, son.
Excellent. Oh, I'm going to drop my mic again. Brothers Landau, that was excellent.
Sounds incredible.
Thank you very much.
Hot sound. Hot sound. We are out of time. We need to ride off into the live cast podcast sunset. Thank you for everyone for watching live and those of you listening in the futuristic podcast format. Thank you, Trevor Moore.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And everyone watch the Trevor Moore Show on Comedy Central's YouTube page. It's hilarious. I'm going to go finish up the sex doll episode tonight. Come to my own conclusions. And I look forward to the Whitest Kids movie. And give my best to all the Whitest Kids.
I will.
I know most of the white. I think there's one Whitest Kid I don't really know. But I know most of them. I feel in a level, you know, Sam Brown, I'm comfortable making fun of his manner of dress. I feel that comfortable with him.
Yeah, and he's the scariest one.
He's easily the scariest one.
Yeah.
Brothers Landau, thank you guys so much. And everyone can find your music in all the usual places, right?
Yep. Instagram at Brothers Landau.
Yep.
We're going to be out in New York July 17th through 24.
Oh, nice. Where are you playing?
We're going to play, speaking of house shows, we're going to play a couple of house shows and then more dates TBD.
All right.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see you.
We can get loose. Let's get loose in person.
Say what?
What's that?
One of them is going to be with Next Great American Novelist.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Another great band. They were on the program recently. All right. Count me in. We'll be in close contact, as Joe Franklin used to say. Thank you, Brothers Landau. Thank you again, Trevor Moore. Thank you. Boy criminal Chris Gersbeck.
Thank you.
And if you want to support the program, go to maximumfun.org/join. Chris, take us out. bring the music up. And let us know when we're not broadcasting so we can say horrible things.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.